Hey, 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 how's it going? It's me, Randy, Big RR, aka Reagan Bush, coming at you with another episode of Cathode Ray Mission. And as always, I am joined live via satellite from Berkeley, California, Will Scoville.
Hey, hey, Randy, how's it going?
Pretty good. I feel like that was my best intro yet.
That's a great intro, man. That's I like that mug. It's kind of in line with another mug that you got.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a, it's a pipe. I think it's so hard to use.
It's like, I know, but it's a mug that is also a pipe, but you have one that's like, this is three donuts stacked on top of each other. You also have a hamburger one, right?
I do have a hamburger one.
That's the first one I saw. This is
technically Liz's, I think.
Yeah, I like
mine's
that.
Mine's a hamburger, but I mean, they're both,
same,
you know,
same deal.
Yeah, I use them both. They're terrific mugs that I love very much.
Yeah, I need one, but I need a left-handed version of that same thing.
So. No, I hear you. Yeah. The pipe, again, it's like...
it's hard to use.
A total novelty.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But,
Well, hey, man. Here we are online again, chatting over Zoom.
Here we are online again. So... for sure.
So I think this fits in very nicely with this week's selection. This is another one you brought up. Why don't you tell us about the movie that you picked this week?
It is true, and I told you earlier I wanted to pick a movie that was on Netflix that I thought my mom would get a kick out of.
Yeah.
I love you, Mom. I know you listen to this podcast. So we're doing Unfriended.
Unfriended. Neat little movie from, oh, I had this up, 2014.
It's a dude, I saw this in theaters.
Did you really?
Yes.
Wow.
Which was crazy to see in theaters. And then just the other, like a week ago, I was like, Unfriended? Fuck it. Let's watch this. It's on Netflix or whatever, you know? And like I said earlier, and I don't know. Me and Liz sat and watched it. I was riveted by it. I thought it was like a pretty well done. It's like crazy what it is. The movie, all right, let's just say this is sort of like an experimental film, honestly. Yeah. It's like you're looking at a web browser for the entire movie, and you're watching essentially a Zoom call or Skype meeting.
It's more like a screencast, because it goes through so many different apps. And it was like every app that you might be using during this thing.
Well, yeah, it's as if you're the main girl looking at her computer screen. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, she's messaging and it's sort of a Facebook horror movie in a way. It's built around Facebook. It's built around, I mean, the movie is very of its time. I mean, the whole Skype aspect of it felt extremely like before its time, like predicting the way we live now and stuff. And, like, I had to keep reminding myself, it's like, no, they're just teenagers. It's like they could go hang out together if they were adults, but, like...
This is how a lot of teens, like, were communicating. But, I don't know, were you a phone guy? Were you a guy who talked on the phone a lot?
I did talk on the phone a lot. I had a summer or two where I talked to, a few different people, like, all day.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, when I turned about 13 to I'd say 15, and then the advent of ICQ kind of squashed, except I mean no not even because I still talk on the phone to like a girl or something for hours and hours. I loved talking on the phone back then,
I mean, I was 13 and like, 94? So, not everyone had a computer. I didn't have a computer until high school. And so even then, it was just like when you signed on, it was to AOL and you got charged by the hour. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't really be on all night, so it'd be like you just call your friend up on the phone and like we would like just watch TV together. Watch like fucking Letterman or something. And
yeah, Conan. And
yeah, just like watch that shit together while being on the phone for just like all night on the weekend. And no, because you didn't have a way to just like chat like this. And so I was very much like when I was 13 or so on the phone a lot. And then, AIM kind of really hit my senior year of high school. And so, and then social media kind of popped up, 1999, 2000, when I went to college. That's when like social media really blew up, and you know, I kind of transitioned to a version of this, you know, pre-Facebook, pre-Skype. But no, I mean, it's just like,
I mean,
I did talk over the phone.
Yeah. I was on the Facebook when it was called the Facebook.
I wasn't there because I was out of school and I didn't have you had to have like an education.
Yeah, you had to be in school. That's the golden age of it, you know, before it is what it is now.
Yeah. And I didn't actually get on it till after I moved to San Francisco. But Randy, you and I met online. We met on LiveJournal.
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
I did have a LiveJournal account.
You did.
I was confusing that with Makeout Club. I never had a
Makeout Club. Yes.
Account. But I thought, I met you through LiveJournal and not through the Weaver Brothers.
I thought you met the Weavers through LiveJournal, or did you just find their Moon Mission?
We met them through MP3.com.
Yes, MP3.com.
Oklahoma bands.
Yeah.
And they were the best, most palatable band that we found on their Moon Mission Death Squad.
Yep.
Not to gas up Mason at all. I don't doubt he listens to this. Fuck you, Mason. If you do. But yeah, we found them through that. And I thought that's how we found, because you were good friends with all them.
Yeah, I was good friends with them. I swear that you guys were on LiveJournal a little bit at least. Maybe your bandmate was on LiveJournal.
I got on LiveJournal, but I feel like it was almost like after college, or maybe. No, not after college, after high school.
Yeah. Like when I was kind of dipping out of it and moving on to like other shit.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I hope all that stuff is long gone.
I know.
I mean, that's like sort of a theme to draw us back into this movie.
Yeah. How
stuff this movie is.
This stuff, it feels like the way that Facebook operates in this movie, because you know they're essentially switching between apps. So there's like a lot of stuff that goes on Skype. There's a lot of messaging through like AIM, it seems like, and then also Facebook posts and Facebook chat, and then Spotify pops up a few times, and you know, just a lot of
which
like
was pretty ingenious. I thought I thought this was.
It's clever.
It's pretty, yeah, very clever.
It's a clever way of making like a cheap horror movie where everyone's kind of trapped in different locations, but they're able to communicate with each other. And it's always that thing of like, why don't they just use the cell phone to contact someone? And, like Chat Roulette pops up in this. Remember Chat Roulette?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was like, holy shit. This is like, you got to remember that shit. I don't even know if that's around anymore, but
yeah. I don't know either. But so, yeah, the premise of this movie is that it's like friends talking on like at night on Skype or is it Skype? You said what it actually is.
It's Skype. Yeah.
Okay.
It feels like Skype.
Yeah. Okay. But, it's slowly teased out. Like they show you footage at the very beginning of like some fucked up shit. It's like this camp, like recorded on a phone video. And it's slowly teased out that this girl killed herself, and all these five people or six people or whatever are like involved in some way, you know?
Yeah.
And somebody else enters into their meeting, and it's like a blank avatar, and they're all like, get the hell out of here, man, you know, and stuff. And it starts making each of them like die and stuff. And it's just a lot of fun. I don't know.
it's like, it's a fun, and yeah, and everyone's kind of like recorded on their laptop camera. And, you know, there's a lot of jump scares in this, but it's using the kind of that format of being online as a really good way of like separating them to have, one-on-one conversations away from the group. And in a really smart way where you got to like kind of read some shit, you know, and you got to read this stuff. And there's a lot of places where people are like, there's several people talking and yelling at the same time. But it really feels, I think, especially now after we watch like Twitch and listen to podcasts now with a lot of people talking at the same time, it really just, I think we're used to it. And it was really compelling. I mean, it's hard to watch in that I don't watch a lot of Twitch. So it's just like, that's not kind of my format, but I do watch some YouTube And I do listen to some podcasts, so it's like, and I do have meetings like this at work. Mm-hmm. So it is very familiar, and it was a really clever way, I think, to make a horror movie. Honestly, it was neat.
Yeah, because I saw another movie and I swore to God I was going to look up what it was called before we got on here. But I saw another movie that was just a traditional movie based around ghosts and the internet and people being humiliated and committing suicide or whatever, yeah. You know, and like living in the computer and stuff. But it was just a traditional movie and it was terrible.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called. It's clearly that they wanted to call the movie Black Mirror, but they couldn't because they kept describing a turned off iPhone as a Black Mirror and like all this. I don't know. Hopefully I'll remember the movie before the episode's done, but that movie was horrible.
Yeah.
This doing it in this way is the best way to do it, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there is like Pulse is a good example of the internet and horror being actually scary, you know? And I mean, strictly the original version of Pulse and not like the American remake that nobody remembers anyway. But this was a cool, I don't know, I just thought doing it in this way, I was almost like, this is almost like, it's not an art movie at all, but it is strange, like an art movie, you know?
It's definitely, especially when it came out, it was kind of an experimental horror movie. And, you know, you have, I think since this has come out, there are like mobile and computer games that operate very much like this, where you're like searching through a database or something and you're watching like video of people like just kind of doing this thing and you're piecing together a thing mm-hmm. from someone's phone, you know, that you have access to. But also I was reminded of stylistically, this is kind of, you know, the VHS franchise where it's using the format of something shot on cheaper video as kind of the gimmick. But it's kind of taking that of like, okay, we're using this old technology to kind of, you know, put this like new little, you know, that's the gimmick of using this old technology. But mm-hmm. this is current technology, at least when this movie came out. And using that like as it came out, because, you know, you have Blair Witch, which mm-hmm. again is like, okay, we found this footage years later. But then there's also like Paranormal Activity, which I think it's very similar to this. And then it's like surveillance cameras, you know, and then this is, you know, it is contemporary. It is a contemporary version of that instead of like, this is a contemporary found footage movie, mm-hmm. Using stuff online. Cause there's like references to LiveLeak and I think I don't know if YouTube is on this, but definitely Facebook and stuff. And it's the real apps too. It's not like a fake version, a movie version of these apps.
The thing is though, I think you have to give this its own, give it its own name because this isn't found footage.
No.
It's like a screen movie. I don't know. It's not because it's not, I think, comparing it to Paranormal Activity, that's pretty astute, but it's like,
it's still different.
It's different than that even.
Yeah,
it's not surveillance footage. It's like, because at the end, spoiler, please fast forward 15 seconds. At the very end, the ghost like flips the computer down and all of a sudden you're in the room and it's like the very end of the movie. And I loved it. I was like, it's the perfect way to end this movie. But, spoiler zone is over. And like, I don't really care about spoilers. That is just like a fun little treat at the very
end. I think there's enough that goes on in the movie that's not too big of a giveaway. Really.
I don't know. Who gives a fuck anyway?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, people are not even going to take this seriously. They're going to see Unfriended, you know? Oh, Randy's podcast is covering Unfriended. Well, whatever, you know. That movie, by the way, is called Friend Request.
Friend Request, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, so that's the shitty version of this movie.
Yeah, and that was my friend's voice. I didn't mean like it's my podcast, Will. You know it's our podcast.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can't think of another movie. Well, there is another, like, there's like that John Cho movie where he's like searching for his daughter.
Yes. Yeah.
That's all screens, I think, too.
Yeah.
Which that seemed, people were like, oh, can you, like critics were like, can you believe that they made a good movie that's all like computer screens and stuff? It's like Unfriended. It sort of felt like stolen. Like it felt like how I'm Not There. People were like, oh, can you believe how amazing Todd Haynes is for having all these actors play Bob Dylan to represent how he was and like, you know, perceived or whatever, you know. It's like, yeah, Todd Solondz did this like 2 years earlier with Palindromes.
Yep.
Sort of a similar situation.
Yeah.
Sort of not at all, but you know what I'm saying.
I don't know. It's just, it is kind of like, you know, it's not necessarily the first time it's been done, but it's kind of like a bigger version of that same idea.
And there are sequels to this I haven't seen.
Oh, really? They made more Unfriended movies?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you ever see that movie Series 7? The precursor
yeah,
to
Yeah, I did see Series 7.
Like the
I like that movie.
Yeah, that was more reality competition, but in an era right before like reality competition kind of became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cuz there was like a big, in the early 2000s there was like a big writer's strike, and that's really when like the boom of reality television started. But that movie came out in the 90s. It came out in like 97, 98, I think. And so it was like a whole season of TV, but it's like cut like a TLC reality competition show or something.
It's like a powerfully Canadian movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Correctly.
Yeah. Very much so.
It's about like death sports. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
There's a part where this teenage girl's like beaten to death in a mall by
somebody, old man.
And it's super disturbing.
Yeah.
And another crazy credit for that is Will Arnett is doing like the voiceover.
Is he really?
Next on Series 7, like all that stuff. That's wow. Will Arnett in that movie.
That's so wild. I didn't know that. I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but that's like, it is one of those where like I first heard about it and then I'm like, I had a hard time convincing my friends to watch it because they were all into like 80s horror movies and stuff. I'm like, this is a new like thriller horror kind of.
Yeah.
And everyone ended up liking it, like, once we actually watched it, because it is kind of, it was really unique, and at least for the time, you know, and Blair Witch had come out since, and so they were a little bit more open to that style of movie making. But
that's Series 7 is, like, digital, right? That's, like, early days of digital video.
Of, like, yeah, mini DV and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was the era that I started film school in, was mini DV, and then I started ducking out in the HD era, which was... You know, kind of interesting.
But that was its own golden age, man. That is
ripe
for re-evaluation.
Yeah, because it was like kind of the dawn of, you know, I guess like Lucas was doing the Star Wars movies digitally. And but you also had movies that were shot on mini DV, like Dancer in the Dark, Full Frontal.
I mean, yeah, the whole Dogma 95.
Dogma 95. Movement, yeah, really adopted that.
One of the big movies of that era that I think about all the time is Chuck and Buck.
Chuck and Buck. Was that shot on digital? I don't.
Oh, yeah.
It really?
It's like ugly at times.
Wow.
Like it's beautiful in its own way.
Yeah.
I mean, but like, yeah.
I knew people who hated DV, who like, it's not the crisp cinema and Dancer in the Dark looks like shit. Oh, Bamboozled was shot on
Mini DV.
Yeah.
Yes, it was, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Bamboozled.
Yeah, I watched that again recently and I kind of meant to start
it. That's a key movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I meant to just kind of start it and kind of watch a little bit of it and just ended up watching the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
God, that movie's so good.
Michael Mann went whole hog with it and to this day does his movies that way and people hate it. Yeah, like Black Hat, even like his newest movie. That's all shot on like handheld digital camera and stuff. And Public Enemies, like his period piece.
Oh, I remember that. That was weird and like shot.
Yeah. Has like these weird, all of a sudden you're like, this seems like I'm watching Cops or something, but it's like a period piece with Johnny Depp as Dillinger. But
well, I mean, the cool thing about that era is like, you know, there was this other push to get video to replace film, essentially, which is where we're at right now. So now if you watch, you know, a movie 9 times out of 10, it's going to be shot digitally. You really can't tell the difference a lot of times, you know, unless you're looking at an older movie, which was shot on a very different stock. Even like the new Star Wars that were shot on film, it's scanned digitally and it's really you can't tell the difference, honestly. The way they're going to process that film is going to be through some sort of digital manipulation. They're going to do a lot of effects work on it in the same way they would with a digitally shot film. So now there's really no difference between the two. So it's just kind of like a moot point. But at the time, it really was like you could tell this was shot on mini DV. It was a different, completely different look to it. And yeah. People were kind of embracing that. And kind of embracing kind of how fucked up it looked compared to film. Mm-hmm. And one interesting thing I thought about Unfriended was how often they use like the data moshing. We used to call it data moshing, but it was where there's like a glitch in the video and it kind of smears a little bit. Yeah. And they're using that to mostly cover up the fact that these are not single takes. Mm-hmm. You know, but you also have, you know, you would switch to another window to have the conversation kind of go there. And those were just ways of like cutting that video up and making a traditional movie, you know, instead of trying to do all this in one take. And I thought all of that was like super clever in how you're making this and how you're making this story like unfold. But
yeah, it is a real time movie too. That's another thing. I mean, it's not the first real time movie, but like, yeah, it is in that category too, where it's like, it begins and it ends like in 90 minutes. Like that's the time that progresses in the movie. Yeah.
I guess Time cool Code stuff. Was a movie like that.
I was just about to say Time Code.
Time Code. Yeah.
There's a movie called Silent House that came out. Like,
I don't remember that one.
10 years ago. I think it was even a remake of a French movie possibly, but it's this movie with Elizabeth Olsen and it had like a few clever cuts where I remember one time they're going upstairs and it gets dark and like that was clearly like a cut moment, but it plays out like a single take and it was pretty impressive and good.
That's cool.
And there's also this movie called Victoria, which I've never watched, but is apparently an unbroken single take and it's like 2.5 hours long.
Or what about like Russian Ark? I remember that was one of the first big ones.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever watched that all the way through. But that is one of those where it's like pretty, they had to do it digitally. There's no way they could have gotten like a film reel that big. Mm-hmm. But even then on video, it's still a bit of a feat to get something that long in a single take, a single video file. But I mean, I don't know. This was, you know, the way that this is structured too, it feels very much like a horror movie. It's like the friends get picked off kind of one by one. I was surprised at some of the kills in this movie. Like, I was not expecting, like, oh, this is, like, legit horror kills.
Yeah, it's a horror movie, I'd say.
Yeah, it's, solidly. Like, a solid horror movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And just having those unfold, there's a lot of countdowns in here, so... And it's, like, every time you hit the end of a countdown, you know someone's going to die, and it certainly happens.
Yeah.
One comment that I saw was our former guest, Kirsten, said... The most unbelievable part about this is that all these kids have a working printer in their room. And I'm like, yep, totally agree. 2014, no way any of them would have need for a printer. There would be one printer in the house. It would be like attached to the parents' computer.
Yeah.
It would not be in their bedroom. But I don't know. They're in high school, too. So maybe they are still printing out shit.
They're all like rich kids, too. So
who knows?
Who knows? Maybe they would have printers.
So you saw
say that to my face.
You saw
Unfriended's face.
You saw this in the theater though, right? Like how was this?
I did.
In the theater.
It was fucking amazing. I remember being like, yes, this is crazy to watch like somebody click through Facebook and stuff like on a huge screen. And it was crazy watching it at my house too. It was
just, yeah. Like,
it's very strange.
Well, do you watch like YouTube on your television at all? Like, because I'll watch that's how I usually watch YouTube is through my TV. Mm-hmm. And so even if I'm watching a tutorial on something, I'll watch it on my TV and then work on my computer through it.
Mm.
So this is very much like watching YouTube or something for me. But it was also kind of stressful because, you know, once if someone's too crazy or if a tutorial is some like loudmouth that is like screaming and shit. I'm just like, I will turn it off. So
some of those are so bad.
Yeah.
It's like, just show me how to do the thing.
I know.
Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know?
So, So I had to like keep this on, especially when it got really heated and really tense and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching it I ended up watching another movie last night, which I also meant to not watch the entire thing. I just started it to watch like the first 10 minutes and then I just sat
through
the
whole thing.
What'd you watch? I watched Ride the Pink Horse.
That's a movie that you brought up a lot.
I like that movie a lot. I'm reading the book right now again. So like, I just wanted to watch the beginning and I ended up watching the whole thing. But
hell yeah.
So I started with this after that. And then after, like before that, I watched The Wildlife, last week's pick, or maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Depending on when we release these.
Or like 6 weeks, right?
Maybe aren't 6 weeks ago, yeah. But no, so I watched like 2/3 of it last night and then the last third of it this morning, Saturday morning, with my coffee and my mini wheats. And it was still kind of like, it was good though. It was like, kind of like, you know, maybe something that you're into the night before when you've had a drink or two versus like wrapping it up, at the, you know, and maybe the ending is not that great. But no, I think there's a lot of stuff about this. This also came out at a time when cyberbullying was like big in the news.
Yeah.
I don't know where we are with that. I don't know how bad that still is, especially with people in high school right now. I hope it's gotten better. Jesus Christ. But yeah, this was all about like cyberbullying and, you know, the secrets that all these kids keep from each other. And I feel like it's very much, the reveals are very similar to shit that's in other horror movies. It's like, oh, I slept with your best friend, or, you know, I did this to, you know, I sold you out to the cops or whatever.
Yeah. And actually, the main character is the one who did the biggest betrayal.
Yeah.
Like that kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like kind of everyone getting their comeuppance, you know, for this big thing they did together. But I don't know. I've like never seen I Know What You Did Last Summer. Is this any way similar to that at all? Because I know that's about a big secret thing that they're all keeping.
I mean, kind of. I think that movie sucks.
Yeah, does it?
Dude, I don't like I Know What You Did Last Summer at all. I mean, so maybe a better comparison would be Prom Night or something. I mean, there's lots of movies. I love a good movie where like something that happened 15 years ago is now, I mean, Friday the 13th obviously is something, another movie like that, you know, but it's like Prom Night comes to mind specifically because it begins with these little kids being too mean and this girl falls to her death on accident and then they leave. And then 10 years later, and it's like somebody is killing them one by one, you know? And so it's sort of like in that tradition. I mean, it is a slasher movie, basically, you know, and I don't know. I mean, it's like a ghost sort of thing.
Yeah.
At one point, this dude is made to like shoot himself.
Right.
I mean, they like, it's sort of like, wait, in the mirror, I'm doing something fucked up, but I'm not, you know, like that kind of logic, I guess. I don't know.
It's, no, it is weird, but I don't know. It's clever too. Just using the, like the different cameras and stuff. And then, you know, just like there's the first two kids to die where it's just like them just kind of staring off into space and you don't know what the fuck it is, you know, and they're not talking or anything. So because they're separated by space, but they're connected digitally, you know, and then again, fucking clicking through chat roulette. Like if you ever spent any, I didn't spend a whole lot of time on there, but I spent a little bit of time being a weirdo, not a creep, but a weirdo on there. So like,
yeah.
But no, it was just like running into people and then having them talk to you and, you know, maybe you're not saying anything. And then, you know, it's just all the weirdos who like decide to just like hop on there. And it got a bit like that with Zoom for a while, but no, it did feel this is going to be like a time capsule. And I wonder how long this will be able to be kind of like related to. I wonder like if we're going to move on to something where it's like, this will not be relatable anymore.
So far, I think it is.
It is now, like especially in 2021, but
enough. And it's, what'd you say from 2014?
Yeah.
So it's like, and I think if I'm not mistaken, I saw that there's like a new one coming out.
Really?
Yeah. So like there's already one, a sequel called Unfriended : Dark Web. And I think there's a new one called Unfriended : Proxy. but I might be smoking dust about that.
Yeah, Dark Web. I just see Unfriended 3 or Unfriended Offline.
Hmm.
Huh.
I don't know. I thought I saw something about... Let's see. Oh, that was a short proxy was.
Okay, I'm looking at... Okay, this is the Unfriended Cinematic Universe. Someone created a playlist here. We got a whole bunch of shit. We got, like, Fear.com. Remember that movie?
Uh-huh.
Let's see. There's one called Noah. Existence is in there. Ooh, with Poltergeist. Mm. I could kind of see that. Oh, Cam is the one. Did you see that one?
Mm-mm.
Cam is the one about the Cam girl. And it's a bit of a hybrid, I think. I watched a little bit of that.
You talked about that before.
Yeah.
There's a TV show coming out.
Is there?
It looks like.
Okay.
I don't know.
Hmm. Wow, this is a really interesting list of, like, cyber horror and cyber thrillers. Like, you got, like, The Net on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mozart's Ghost.
Wait, what is Mozart's Ghost?
It's the internet browser or whatever that she uses.
and Mozart is in there?
I can't remember. I just remember it's like she's like on a website and it's like Mozart's Ghost. And it's like, do you want to order pizza or something? I don't know. The Net is a pretty bad movie.
The Net is?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen The Net. I know that takes place in San Francisco.
Well, our mutual friend Eric loves The Net.
Does he really? I should watch that.
I think it takes place in like in the islands or something somewhere.
Where?
And like the islands, quote unquote. I don't know, like the Caribbean or something.
I don't think. Like, I think it takes place in there's like she was catching cable car.
What happens is she goes to the Bahamas or something and meets a man or whatever, and then he steals her identity. And so when she comes back, she's like, they're like, you are somebody else. And she's like, no, I'm so-and-so.
Mm.
And then she's got to hit up her best friend, Dennis Miller.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
In the movie. Yeah, The Net is a talk about dated movie. Sandy Bullock, Dennis Miller.
Wow.
Mozart's Ghost, internet thriller.
I gotta see this one. Mozart's Ghost.
They should remake The Net.
They should. I mean, I don't know.
Sandra Bullock is, but.
Or should it be like a direct sequel?
Oh, there is I think there's like a direct-to-video sequel.
Oh, is there a Net 2?
It's got to be, right?
I don't know. I mean, that would make sense. That was like still the heyday of like direct-to-video.
It's got to be called The Net 2.0.
Yes. Yes. Oh, God. Please be right, Randy. So here, very similar to the way that this movie is structured, we are doing internet searches on this show.
Mm.
And of course, there's The Net, which is a fishing movie.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, The Net 2.0. Oh, fuck yes. 2006, Nikki DeLoach. I must have known
that. Like, no way did I like just make that up.
Yeah.
I must have seen that before.
After arriving in Istanbul, so I think it's a foreign... It might be just one of those where it's like... We're going to call it The Net 2.0, but it really has nothing to do. You know, it's a cheap knockoff of the first.
And shit.
Yeah. But no,
Firewall
this is...
Firewall with Harrison Ford.
Cool. I think we've covered this a fair amount.
Yeah, we've talked enough about Unfriended.
Unfriended. I
mean, you know what you're getting into.
Hell yeah.
I think, you know.
Maybe.
With this.
Let's take a quick break and come back with a big roundup.
Hell yeah.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Annie.
Have you ever endured a palaver?
Is it good to be the dog's dinner?
Who is this Bob, and why is he your uncle?
For the answers to all these questions, you'll have to listen to our podcast, Boo to a Goose, breaking down British and American expressions and idioms.
We use them, define them, and explain their history, all in a short, digestible format.
So go ahead and check out Boo to a Goose wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheerio!
That means goodbye.
I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romain.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Welcome back to Cathode Ray Mission. It's me, Randy Big R. Higher. Will, on a 0 to 5 scale, what would you give 2014's Unfriended?
You know, I think as a horror movie, it works. It's good enough. You know, this would normally be kind of a 3-star movie. But the technique they use, I think it worked doing it completely on the screen. So I think that bumps it up a 0.5-star, just for, you know, solid execution. Mm. So 3.5 stars for this one.
Damn, rated higher than The Wildlife.
It had a little bit more going for it. I think they stuck the landing. Let's just say they stuck the landing. They swung for the fences and stuck the landing. I think that those metaphors match up perfectly.
Well, fair enough. I also, I don't know. I'll give this 4 or 2. I don't know. I like this movie. I thought this movie was, I put it on kind of just like, whatever, we can watch this or not, you know? And then I ended up staying up and watching the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, being like, oh, this is fun. It's like 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's not too long.
It's maybe even like less than 90 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a fun, good time. It's on Netflix. Check it out. Unfriended. If you like the internet horror movies, boy howdy, we got one for you. Unfriended. Will, do you got any recommendations for me based on this?
I mentioned a few. Check out Blair Witch again. See how that holds up, you know?
Hell yeah.
I don't know how well that works out without so much of the hype kind of around it, but I haven't seen it in a while. I might check it out again. And then, you know, Paranormal Activity. And then there's one called The Last Broadcast, which I think came out around the same time as Blair Witch. Done very differently, but same, has a lot of the same twists and turns. Also has a lot of, it has an IRC component to it, which is very interesting. And also a lot about cable access television. So a very cool movie, The Last Broadcast. Randy.
Very good. I'm going to say, just check out, I don't know, anything. Check out horror movies in general. Watch lots of different stuff, because you'll never know when you're going to find a movie like Unfriended of all movies. Like, why was this good? I don't know. Just sometimes movies are good like this, you know? Yeah. I think Paranormal Activity was a great movie to bring up. Blair Witch is another one where it's like kind of changing the format, doing something new and scary that can be done basically once, you know, before it's not good anymore, you know? And yeah, I don't really have, again, it's like, this is sort of a unique, weird movie. I don't have a lot of comparisons, like a one, there's no one-to-one, like, well, right. You also like this other movie that's all screens in real time and shit. It's like, yeah, maybe check, find that movie, The Silent House with Elizabeth Olsen. That's a fun pseudo real time, pretending to be real time horror movie. Yeah.
Very cool. Excellent. I know we talked about it last week. What's going on with you, Randy? Anything worthwhile bringing
Hell
up?
No. Same shit? Yeah, same old shit. Chat piles cooking along. I hope everybody, I mean, good God, who knows? I mean, I don't know. Shit is so crazy now.
I know, man. I'm enjoying it while I can. I'm vaccinated. I'm staying safe, though.
Yes.
You know, I got different vaccinations, too. I got, you know, my booster shots for my other vaccinations for mumps and measles and tetanus and all that shit, you know. Got it all. So not just the COVID, everything else. Keep yourself safe. Get the vax.
Yep.
Get the shot. Wear a mask. You know. Get tested if you need to.
Indeed.
Yep. I went to that convention a couple weeks ago, and it was real different. And it's going to take a long time before we're back to normal. I've realized we can get a little bit there, but it's going to be a long time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, at least till the end of 2022, I predict. I predicted earlier it was going to be 2025 till we're like fully back. And that's if we cooperate, you know.
Yeah. So, yay. You know. Well, give me the shot and I will take it. And, you know, I'll wear my mask and whatever.
Yep.
Let's rock and let's roll. And I don't want to die.
Yeah.
Some stupid, you know, virus.
It's not that big of a deal, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put your fucking seatbelt on, too. Like,
yeah. Put shoes on and wear a coat when it's cold.
Yeah.
You know, be sure to pull your head out of your ass.
Yep.
But anyway, Will, what do you got going on?
Same stuff.
And whatnot.
Yeah. Podcasts, Sup Talk, Talkies, Nerd Rage, The Great Debates, Cathode Ray Mission. Check them all out.
That last one for sure.
Yeah. Check out the podcast where you find podcasts. Check out Talkies online whenever we do it, first Tuesday every month on Twitch, on Zoom. Do it. Randy.
Will.
Let's unfriend each other from this podcast and refriend each other next week.
In real life.
All right, man.
I hear you, bro. We'll see you next week or in 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah. However long. Maybe we'll take another break. Maybe shit will get busy again and I won't have time to fucking record.
Who knows? We should try to, let's log him up. Just have him.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right,
we'll
man.
We'll see. All right.
We'll be back next week.
See you next week.
Later.
Or whenever. Yeah. Goodbye.